We're off there, buddy.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host for the next 90 minutes. This is another in our news and reviews series, and once again, our main focus will be on the confusing Hayley Cummings story. We also want to briefly give an update on a couple of other cases that we've been following. Joining me in the studio is my lovely wife, Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Simon.
Hey, Jan.
Oh, she's being nice to me now. She was threatening to call in sick.
Yeah, I was. Slave driver.
From New York, we have crime writer and author Denny Griffin. Hi, Denny.
Hi, good afternoon.
How's the ex-mobster business?
It's booming.
It's booming. I was talking to someone from Chicago a couple of days ago, and they were naming names that didn't mean anything to me, and right out of the blue, they said Denny would know them. From Southern Florida, we have private investigator and all-round interesting character, William Cobra Storbs. Hi, Cobra.
Hey, Simon, what's happening, baby?
Well, from what I've been hearing, my life is pretty boring in comparison with yours. Have you had any good experiences with funeral homes lately?
Yeah. I told my guys when they went and raided a funeral home, what was it, Friday night, don't look in any large boxes. They better leave them closed. We got one that got loose in a funeral home on us, and my guys were running into the autopsy room or where they take the blood out, and oh, my God, brother, you don't want to go in there. The place stinks. Oh, my God, Jesus.
Okay, and from Gainesville, Florida, to add a little balance to this panel, we have ace reporter and news director for the Sky 97.3, T.J. Hart. T.J., how's it going?
Going well, thank you very much. Gators won yesterday,
TJ.
So it was good.
What did he say? He got what yesterday?
I said the Gators won yesterday, so it's all good.
Oh, I could have swore you said something else, and I was congratulating you, but that's good, man.
No, that's what, you know, Cobra calls me. I'm right there in the middle of reporting on the Florida Gators football game, and he goes, I can't hear you. So, well, I don't know. It could be the 90,000 screaming fans.
I was in the damn. They were had me in a funeral home, man, looking for a fugitive, man. They're crazy.
Okay. As always, our switchboard is open, and we do welcome your calls and comments. The number to call is 646-378-1120. And our chat room on Blog Talk Radio is also open, so feel free to drop in there and ask your questions, leave your comments, etc. Before we get on to the Hayley Cummings case, I just want to briefly touch on a couple of other cases that we've been following. I want to start with an update on the absolutely outrageous case out of Miami Beach. Miami Beach police officer Adam Tavis, that's T-A-V-V-S, for those of you that want to Google him, managed to dispatch two unarmed men in the space of 4 days. Hussein Shahada and his brother Sama and their girlfriends were vacationing in the area. And as you do when you're on vacation, they stayed up late, they went for a 3 a.m. stroll, and hotshot Adam Tavis, T-A-V-V-S, killed Hussein for no good reason. The event was actually captured on a CCTV camera. Following the standard 72-hour decompression period, some brain cell gave Tavis his gun and badge back, and he promptly assisted in the untimely end of one Leonard McCoy, a suspected carjacker. Neither men were armed, neither warranted the death sentence as proscribed by Adam Tavis. We ran a radio program some weeks ago on the case. We had a surviving brother, Sammer, who was an eyewitness. In fact, he was stood 2 feet from his brother Hussein when this happened. The two girlfriends, we had members of the McCoy family, and attorney John Contini, also his lead investigator. I was actually quite heartened middle of last week when I heard that CNN had finally decided to pick up on the story. Finally, the case was going to get some attention. I watched the segment, and I was mortified. I'm not sure that they were even talking about the same events. About 2 hours ago, and this really is hot news, I received a copy of an email from Sammer Shahada to the producer of the CNN segment. To say the least, he is pissed off, and rightly so. CNN have taken an hour of interview and compressed it to a 1 second soundbite. The other 59 minutes and 59 seconds being about what a good job Miami Beach police do. We don't have a time set yet, but keep your eyes on this case. We will be doing another show on it, likely next week. Okay, on to the Casey Anthony story. Jan, bring us up to date.
Well, there's a few things that's happened this week. One, that the defense had filed another motion trying to get this civil suit that Zenaida Gonzalez has against Casey Anthony dropped, but the decision hasn't been made yet. As far as I know, they've decided to postpone the decision, delay it. Another thing is that Zenaida's lawyers had also filed another motion to go into court to get the judge to force the Anthonys, George and Cindy, to answer the questions that they had refused to answer for them while they were given their depositions. But they've decided to drop that motion, saying that they've got all the answers now that they need, listening to the interviews with the Anthonys from the FBI interviews. So they don't need them now. So they got out of that. And the state made a good move as far as I'm concerned. They have filed a motion to where they can get the courts to force this wannabe, as I call them, dream team for Casey Anthony to cough up so-called substantial evidence that they keep coming up with, telling the courts that they have that can prove that Kaylee's remains were placed there after Casey was arrested for murder. And they seem to claim that if they can prove that, that it'll prove that she didn't kill the baby, which I don't understand that one either. But they're asking for the defense to give them names, addresses, and all supporting documentation relative to the claim. And prosecutors are saying that all the forensic evidence to date establish that the date that the remains of little Kaylee had been deposited there many months before they found her on December 11th, 2008.
So let's move on to the main event, Haley Cummings. TJ, bring us up to speed.
How many Croslins can throw each other under a bus in 1 week? Not many more, because they're starting to get wrapped around the axle.
Good.
All righty. Well, I learned how to spin a yarn a little bit from hanging around Mr. Stobbs a little too long, but there you go. That's fine. I give credit where credit is due.
Thank you, sir.
You've got a colorful way of talking, Mr. Bill. But,
thank you, sir.
You're more than welcome. What has happened this week? We had the alleged sighting of Haley up in Connecticut. We're covering some old ground. That didn't turn out to be much of anything. There's no surveillance tape that I was able to find other than what folks had told Ms. Neves, Ronald Cummings' mom, that there appeared to be an adult pushing a stroller or pushing a shopping cart with a child that resembled Haley in it. He couldn't tell if it was male or female. That's pretty much been dropped. My theory is that either way, if there was or if there wasn't, it was a good excuse to get Putnam County law enforcement authorities across state lines to question Timmy and his wife Chelsea up in South Yarmouth, Massachusetts. And that went on for like 14 hours, asking the same questions. What did you do? Did you help hide the child? How do you know this child? How do you know, what's your relationship with your sister? Basically over and over and over and over and over again. Most of the family seemed to think that, although it was long and tedious, they're happy that at least the things being investigated. Well, that's when all the love and stuff started fractionalizing, because no sooner than that happened, basically the entire Crosland clan decided to have yard sales and pack up and maybe move up to Boston for the fall. Also, what has happened here too is that Hank Crosland Jr. Found himself in a courtroom with his sister Misty. This has to do with Ratgate, or the prelude to Ratgate, I should say. This is a fight that took place about 3 or 4 weeks ago, closer to a month ago, I guess, at the trailer of Annette Sykes, where Ronald and Misty are living. And Hank Crosland came in and raising all kinds of hell, and a fight broke out, and you can't really discern whose side was right, whose side was wrong, whose side was indifferent, other than the fact that it took a while for it to break up, kind of like a hockey fight. Ron wound up getting charged with battery and also burglary, and the burglary was a bit strange, but once I explained it to you, I think you'll understand that they had to call it something. He actually went into Hank Crosland Jr.'s van to get him to punch him another one or two, so by gaining entry to that van without permission by technical standards, burglary. Okay, so
I still don't understand why that wouldn't be trespass rather than burglary.
I don't know. I don't have my juris doctor, and in Florida, I think they just kind of make it up as they go.
I'm just thinking that.
I think we're all in agreement on that. But as
absolutely.
A result, Misty went to court this past Wednesday, along with Hank Crosland Jr. And, she had a restraining order placed against him. She said, this guy's got guns, this guy's got all kinds of stuff. And, just because you own a firearm doesn't make you a bad person. Sometimes it makes you, many times it makes you a responsible person to protect you and your own. But she said that he's got guns and that he's made threats and this, that, and the other. And evidently it was enough to persuade a judge to get the order of protection out against him. So they've got that going on. Now you've got the rest of the Crosland clan, Tommy and Hank Sr. and his wife, all fixing to get moving up north to maybe find a better economic climate for themselves. And on top of that, they also, when talking to a few reporters, they didn't say it to me, but to a few reporters, they say, all this talk here, and, it's not a good place to raise a kid, and yeah, I'll be quite honest with you. We're a little embarrassed by what Misty's been, accused of doing or not doing or whatever her role might be. And thinking to myself, well, damn, if you've got a family member and you're going to move, all the way up the eastern seaboard away from them just to, distance yourself. That's a lot of strong support you got there in your family mechanism. But that's their business, and I just report it. So
One of the stories that I heard, and I can't remember the source, but I think it was a relatively sensible one, claimed that the one of the reasons was that the welfare system was so much better up there.
Exactly.
Well, that might play a role into that. But I can't prove that, so I'm just going to let that hang on the vine.
Good answer. Denny.
Yes.
Well, at least you didn't put me to the death sentence like old Nancy did the other night.
That's just I think. Thanks, Mr. Hart.
Oh, man. I felt for you, bro. I shed a tear and a prayer for you.
That's okay. She made it all up the following show.
Good deal. Good deal.
And you and Nancy seem to have a bit of a love-hate relationship.
Yeah,
we have creative brothers. Differences. I think she's she thinks she's creative, and sometimes I think different. Then she does the other thing. She goes, "I don't think you're very creative at all, Mr. Hart."
I think you're secret.
But it's all over with in a second. We got a great relationship, and we do have fun with each other.
Denny, I want to bring you in and get your thoughts on the recent happenings in this case.
Well, I'm glad to see stuff is still going on. I keep hoping, though. Maybe I just don't have the patience I need to have. But I'm still anxious to find out what happened to Haley. And I know all this other stuff's going on. Hopefully it's leading us in that direction. It's just that with every passing week or every passing day, I get more frustrated. I'm always thinking we're just around the corner, you know, that something's going to happen the next day or the next hour or whatever. And it doesn't seem to quite come. So like I say, maybe I just don't have the patience I should have. But after 7 months, my patience is about exhausted.
Mm. Mr. Griffin, I'll tell you, you sound like many of the people who live down here. To be quite honest with you, sir, everyone is they're rooting for this child to be brought home and be brought home safely and responsibly. And every time there's just a glimmer of hope, there's always some kind of shenanigan or soap opera or family dysfunctionality that just throws a monkey wrench into your hopeful anticipation. It's easy to take pot shots at the family members when they make news because they like to do it in front of cameras. it's not like people are throwing dirt on anyone. They're throwing dirt on each other, and it's astounding. But we do understand that law enforcement has put the pressure on Misty to come forward and solidify her timeline and better explain her whereabouts the night the child disappeared. And really, that's the root. Everything else is circus.
TJ, can I ask you a question?
You sure can.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, have you heard through your sources that anybody's being offered any kind of deals here? Now, I'm not saying Misty's committed a crime. Maybe if she has knowledge and hasn't shared it, perhaps she's obstructing or whatever. But have you heard if anybody's getting any immunity offers or anything like that?
Nothing direct. I do know that once she does come forward with that, the hammer's off, the pressure is off. The only thing I've ever heard of any kind of deal was a $35,000 check that Tim Miller from Texas Equisearch arranged through a friend of his, Mr. Moffitt, from I do believe he was with one of the oil or fuel industry people in Texas, who wrote a check for $35,000 payable upon the safe return of Haley Cummings. And that was only from a hearsay that Hank Crosland Sr. had left on his voice message and something that Ronald tried to address but really couldn't quite adequately do it in his lawyer's office about, saying if I had $35,000, I could get that child home today. Well, that was Hank saying that he heard Ronald and Ronald had witnesses, and really that story never really panned out. It deflected to some, BS story about a guy named Larry. And, Ron's attorney told that story back to me again because I had him, trying to explain it to me before we went on Nancy Grace's show earlier last week, I think it was Monday. And he said, it was just some kind of a, long, complicated conversation. And then Larry, and then at the end of the conversation, he said, even if I had $1 million, I wouldn't know who to give it to because I don't know anybody named Larry. So, that, you know, this is the Denny, this is the wild goose chase you get on with this, that, and the other down here. But as far as a direct answer to your direct question, not aware of any deals being cut, not aware of any that have been made public.
Okay, let's leap to the phone lines. Someone coming in from the 888 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us? Hello, 888. Oh,
might
no
888.
Oh, you're just listening in. Okay, well,
it might be
here. Listen in and enjoy. And once again, folks that are listening, if you do have questions for us, please feel free to call in. The number is 646-378-1120. Cobra, you've been very quiet, which is unlike you.
It's abnormal.
I know you're still recovering from the unfortunate events of a couple of nights ago. What are your thoughts about what's gone on this week?
Oh, I tell you, I'm kind of saddened to hear that the whole family's moving up to Massachusetts, especially Lindsey Crosland, because unfortunately I'm going to have to be bringing her back as she filed a false police report against me saying that I knew where this kid was in Georgia. And it was informational purposes only, but I'll tell you what, I went and pulled all my records, and I can't believe all the fake-ass police reports that folks have filed, and I'm wondering why Lindsey Crosland had done that, being she's married to Hank Jr. Crosland, a.k.a. Tommy, and kind of the center of this investigation at the moment. So I'm kind of, my ears are up like these antennas on this satellite phone here trying to figure out, wow. Something. So that's been running through my mind all week.
Okay, let's take another call. We have a caller from the 417 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment?
Hi, this is Nikki. Hi, everybody. I have a question. I'm glad you all are getting on Nancy Grace more, everybody. You were talking about that the other day. And also I have a question. Is it just me, or does it seem like when they get close to Misty or unraveling that all of a sudden they have another sighting somewhere? Like, it almost seems like they're, you know.
It's orchestrated almost.
Thank you.
And they said something about that Ron wasn't believing her story now or questioning it, and
mm-hmm.
her father was. Her father
mm-hmm.
was, too. Anybody hear about that? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's all true. When you get close, you always, right before the pipes break, you kind of hear a and boom.
Well, at Bill's house, they do.
Yeah, at my house, they do.
But,
why did they do that?
But to answer your question, Ronald had some doubts. He expressed those doubts to Tim Miller when he did his investigation with TES. He stated that, you know, she couldn't have been asleep. That bed was made, and that was the first doubt. But, you know, publicly, he'll stand behind Misty, and he'll do that. Hank Senior, just there the other day, and of course, his wife, Misty's mom, said that she's not being truthful, and if she needs to say anything, mom right there on TV is going, baby, you can talk to me. I'll be in Massachusetts, but you can talk to me. And I said, my God. But, no, you're absolutely right, man. It almost seems like it's orchestrated that about time mm-hmm. that something's going to happen, you know, suddenly, the festival of the inbreds or whatever, you know, everything just starts exploding and the in-laws, outlaws, in-between laws just start going off on each other.
I think that's strange.
I would suggest that you do not use that phrase on CNN.
No. I apologize, folks. I didn't. I got a little too loose with my.
But TJ, you brought up something very interesting, if I may. privately, Ronald and I have had several conversations.
Yes.
We've been, you know, I've even challenged him, listen, Ronald, I this is not my daughter, and I watch you every day. You're not actually looking. You haven't offered me a dime, not even to fill my tank up. See me out here. You haven't even offered me a glass of cold water. You're not even doing the Good Samaritan thing. What have you done, Ronald? What's your involvement in it? And privately, he throws Misty under the bus. He did it to Timmy Miller.
Oh.
He did it with me. He did it with everybody else. But publicly, when it goes on, I believe she's telling the same story. I believe she was home. This is not what he's told me. So it brought me right back to the same thing. Listen, he really and truly, so he says on TV, I just want to find my daughter. This has nothing to do with my private life. I just want to find my daughter. So if you have nothing to hide, you just want to find your daughter, submit yourself to the exact same test that Misty took. Do that. And if you're hiding something, then the world will know. When he says, no, I'm not going to take those tests, my lawyer, and he hides behind the lawyer, my lawyer said, don't. Listen, an innocent man should fear nothing. And the minute he does that, I believe within 1 week of him doing that, we will find out the truth of what happened to this child. We have all the other dots connected, like Simon said. We have all the jigsaw puzzles pieces. We have them all. There's just a couple that are a little bit tethered, because if you watch Ronald on TV, he says one thing one day, another thing another day. And privately, he's told me, he's told Timmy, he's told other people close, very close to the investigation, a whole suspicious story about Misty. So he needs to come forward now, prove up his innocence as far as his involvement case and why he has these two brain child thoughts of one direction to another direction. I challenge him. I challenge him today in front of every listener that's out there. If he refuses, you have your answer. Period and simple.
Okay, I'm going to play devil's advocate on this one. Ronald has taken a poly, and I believe it was administered by the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
However, the results have not been released.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he failed it miserably,
mm-hmm.
one would suspect... Right, one would hope that, you know, law enforcement would be following him, dogging him, making his life miserable. But they don't seem to be doing that. Now,
three things.
Okay.
Three things. Number one, it's the questions that he asks. If you don't ask the right question, you're not going to get the right answer. Number two, they both said that they passed. With flying colors, the cops' lie detector test. It wasn't until Timmy Miller got him hooked up to the machine, got her hooked up to the machine, and she failed miserably. So did he also pass with flying colors, and is he going to fail miserably, which I suspect, and or is he just going to say, you know what, that damn Cobra's on Timmy again. Hell no, I ain't taking no damn test. Why should I have to take a test? I was at work. Well, maybe you were, my friend. Maybe you had an opportunity. Tell us, if you want to find your daughter, tell us. Stop hiding behind the crap that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, guys, I do want to add something. The words do mean things.
Yes, they do.
When the Putnam County Sheriff's Office said on Haley's sixth birthday on August 17th that the biological parents are no longer suspects, are not considered. Then I think the exact words were are not considered suspects. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, depending on your mood or your interpretation, they've been cleared. And that's been said. In fact, it was told to me that, in essence, they have been cleared. I even printed that because folks who know what they're talking about had stated such. Based on now, hear me out. Now, things have changed a little bit because now the word you're getting from the folks who wear the badge is that, well, and also from Ronald's attorney, is that, Ronald, you're not a primary suspect, but you are the last suspect on the list, meaning that
you are way
down there. And you have to realize that the substantial change is from no longer a suspect to the last suspect on the list.
Well, TJ,
those both came from law enforcement.
Yeah, well, TJ, here's what you're not understanding. I mean, this is hillbilly mathematics. Number one, it is supposedly not a stranger abduction. That's the first thing law enforcement said. Not a stranger. Okay, how many non-strangers do we have having access to this house? Well, we got some Crawlsons who are wrapped up in a snake fight right now, and we've got some Cummins. So, and we've got some Sheffields, if you want to throw them in there for a moment. Well, the list is very short. We're talking 10 people. So if you're in suspicion of abduction or murder or whatever the suspicion is, and you're on a list of 1 to 10, that's not a very damn good list to be on.
Well, hey, well, I graduated last in my class, but I graduated 10th of my class, but there are only 10 people. Yeah, I understand. I understand what you're saying.
Actually,
it's hillbilly mathematics, my friend.
I think the list is way shorter.
Oh, of course.
And TJ, you and I talked about this a couple of days ago. In my opinion, the list is 3. We have.
You got 2 hens and a rooster, but actually ready to put a 4th one into play there. I'm going to tell you that it either comes to 2, it's even numbers. 2, 4. 8, 10. Okay, we're at 4.
All right. And the way I look at it, we have 3 little piggies.
You don't like my chicken story?
Yeah, it's a story. Misty, Crystal, and Ron. Crystal had 12,000 reasons to want to do this. But, you know, I've thought this through 8 ways to Sunday. She just wouldn't do it. I mean, it's...
I don't know, wouldn't. I don't, I'm thinking maybe not able to hatch a plan successfully.
Right, right. And certainly couldn't carry it out. I'll tell you what, before I go to the other 2 little piggies, well, let's take another caller. Someone coming in from the 360 area code.
Hello?
Hello, caller.
Hello. This is Queenie.
Hello, what's your question for us?
Yeah, I wanted to find out what people thought about Misty singing tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Let me tell you what, if she really does sing, I'll be freaked out that she did. And 2, if somebody else thinks she's going to sing, I would go ahead and get police support to her house right now, put her in protective custody if she's really going to sing. But if she's just going to harmonically tone what we've been hearing come out of Ronald's mouth, then we're wasting our time listening, and we need to keep pushing for the closure of this case.
Well, was she talking about her family? Was she talking about ratting on her family?
Yes, she is. She's going to talk about ratting on her family because she's got to protect Ronald.
Rat.
Ronald's got to. Yeah. What's a rat gate, isn't it? So she's got to go against Tommy. She's already struck a match. That fire's burning bad. Now Lisa, her mom, who took sideways with me for coming out against Misty early on, wouldn't speak to me. In fact, she wouldn't speak to me at court the other day, but Hank did, and Hank's pretty cool. And Hank is the kind of guy that if he says this is going sideways here with Misty, then go ahead and write that down, because she's definitely going sideways, and Misty is suspect in my mind, number one.
Yeah.
And now we got to find her accomplice, or were they in it together? That's why I say it's very important that Ronald not say, well, I don't want to take this test, because by taking that test, we can find out what happened within a week, quick. And if he refuses the test, I think we have our answer, period. That's
close the
case.
TJ, we've all heard about Misty supposedly revealing all. What do you think?
Give me a front row seat. That's all I can say, my brothers and sisters. Give me a front row seat.
Don't sit too close to her. Don't sit too close to her on that front row seat in case they miss and hit you.
Well, I've been hit before.
Yeah, but not like this, if it's what as drastic as we think it is. I would kind of stay away. There's been a lot of threats of guns. There's a security order that came down from the judge and a protection, keep away, stay away.
Last Wednesday, yeah.
Yeah, well, I called you Friday night because I got one of those people who violated that, and their bond was $10,000. So when I picked the guy up, the cops are calling saying, hey, he's wanted for suspicion and question of murdering his girlfriend. What do you mean? She's dead. We found her dead. Holy shit. So I asked the guy, I said, hey, the cops want to know, did you kill her? So what if I did? I'm like, holy shit, let me out the truck. I've got a murderer in my damn truck. Now, I don't know if he was or not.
I do want to have a front row seat for this this concert that we're about to hear.
I can't get
inside that young girl's head because to this date I've been quite unsuccessful. So I'm just going to have to report what I hear, see, and sense.
Yeah. If she closes her eyes, she's lying, and that hypnosis thing was a field day for her. You can go ahead and close your eyes if you want to, and I saw the smirk. Oh, man, this is how I work the best with my eyes closed. Shit.
TJ, on a really serious note,
yes.
Do we know if Misty is going to be holding a press conference, or are we just expecting some sort of sanitized...
Well, once I got the warning shot, I haven't checked my email to get that. That's where I get all my information on press releases and stuff.
Or
like
rah
that.
Rah.
Field. Hello.
Yeah.
We'll as soon as I get off the air, I'll be checking all three of the email boxes, and I'll figure out one way or the other. I'm going to make a call to her attorney as well tomorrow morning. So.
Lucky attorney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's a good guy,
though.
I'll tell you that.
Next time you folks gripe about the cost of your attorneys, just remember there are those cases that they still haven't been paid the full amount of hell and effort they had to put into on someone else's account before they got to you.
Yeah, hey, I met that guy.
Just ask OJ's attorneys.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, I met that guy at court the last time I was there. That Mr. Fields dude, he's a good dude.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a nice man. And you know the problem is even the wicked and the guilty need to have lawyers, no matter guilty or innocent. But I mean, they have to have lawyers. And of all lawyers, I'd say he's a nice guy. At least he's got a nice lawyer. And if she did this, she's gonna have to have him on his best game to keep the needle out of her arm.
Well, yeah, and folks along that line. Ever since this thing has begun, why can't we throw just people in jail and swat them and make them say things and make them confess and make them do that? Well, there's this little thing called the U.S. Constitution, and people get so pissed off at me when I say that. They think I'm being a wise guy. No. If you remove protection put place under the laws governing this great land of ours, while it is our state, our great land of ours, and it still is the land of the home of the free and the brave, folks, you need those protections in place, not just for you, but for the next guy. And if they take them away from the next guy, what makes you think that they're going to look at you any differently if a set of circumstances goes against you and you have absolutely no idea what the hell's going on? Ask a few people, Denny in Chicago, who've been railroaded into life sentences, even death sentences, just because a state attorney had an election coming up and it wasn't looking good and they needed a quick W, a quick win in a courtroom, and it didn't matter. Somebody got their vengeance out because their kid or a loved one got killed. They just found somebody who they would coerce, threaten, beat, interrogate, rubber hose till they confessed. And, the folks, that's not comic book. That crap's real. And this is why, we have that Constitution in place, is to prevent that crap from happening to you. Now, I know that it's very frustrating that we just can't have a fair trial and hang the bastards.
TJ, it's like
you
got
to go through the process, and the process is a pain in the ass, and and it seems to way too scholarly for most folks that you have to go through the process, but the process is important.
Well, TJ, I agree to disagree, and I agree on certain things. Yes, that's true, but in Mississippi Burning, when the three activists went to Mississippi, they brought in a hitman, and after he threatened to stick a screwdriver in a couple people's eyes, they were able to solve the case. Now, I'm all for the Constitution and everything else. I think my rights have been violated in the things that we've seen happen to me, but however, the youngest in innocence among us, which is Haley Cummings. She has rights, too, and she has the right. We have the right to know how her rights were violated, who stole her. They violated her rights by stealing her out of that trailer or by killing her or by selling her or whatever they did to her, her rights were violated. So somewhere in the law,
that's a fact.
I support finding out how come somebody else's rights were violated, especially someone is so innocent. So I'm all for, once the facts are leading to that, I mean, we ain't going to beat an untrue confession out of the fellers, but I think
that's what
that,
I'm getting at.
Pressure needs
stuff
to be applied to where they think they're going to die if they had any involvement, come clean and ask for mercy and start screaming mercy right now, because Haley's rights have been violated.
That's true, Bill, and I know, and I appreciate your emotion, because it's usually me that's swinging off the hinges here. I really appreciate switching sides of
her
the character.
Her rights have been violated by God. Stop thinking about all these other criminals' violations. And, you know, it's just like there's millions of people in prisons across America. Somebody asked me, why ain't you out on bond for something they said you did? I said, listen, here's the difference between me and millions of people that are in jail. They all say, if you talk to them, I didn't do it. I didn't do it, man. I can tell you this. I did it, but they told me to.
Well,
I did it.
Alrighty.
But they authorized.
All righty. All right. Well, let's tell you what,
that's
Bill. Get out the rubber hoses and the waterboarding and have at it and get your answers. I want this damn thing. Now, hang on. I want this damn thing solved as bad as anybody, because this is right here in my backyard. This is where I live, all right?
Well, ask Ronald to take the test.
I want the child home safely. I want the child home alive. But
well,
also,
you ask Ronald, to take those tests.
Cobra, shut up.
I'm fired off on DJ, by God.
Well, then have your own damn show, then.
DJ, have your vent, and then pop a tab under your tongue. Oh, I've upset TJ now.
You killed him.
He's gone all quiet. Okay, well, let's take a call from the 111 area code. Caller, what's your name and what's your question or comment? 111 usually means someone coming in from Skype or they have their number blocked.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, this is Tracy from Maine. My question is, have Missy or Ron ever searched for Haley at any time when they did the searches?
That's a very good question. And you know what? To the best of my knowledge, the answer is a big resounding no. Cobra, what's your thoughts?
Well, when Equisearch was first in town, he was seen riding the horses, Ren 10-10 style. But the minute that the press and Timmy Miller left, I invited him many times to go with me, because when I was looking in the swamps, it was kind of rough. And since he was from there, you know, lead me around a little bit, you know. But no, he never participated once the TV cameras and Equisearch with the horses left, period.
Because if that was my child missing, I would not stop searching.
Exactly.
You know, high and low.
He blamed it on law enforcement to stop the search. Law enforcement, supposedly, according to Ronald's statements to me, why he wasn't searching is they asked him not to.
Okay. I still wouldn't stop searching, but...
Exactly.
This whole business about being asked not to, wasn't that the story that the mainstream media ran concerning Tim Miller and Equisearch?
Sure.
He was
yep.
asked not to.
Yeah, he was asked to leave.
Now, in actual fact, that isn't the true story. Someone's telling porky pies, as we would say in the in the UK.
I don't know, my friends.
I have a question coming in from the chat room. I'll just throw it out there for general consideration. What about a benefit concert that all the proceeds are to be mailed to the sheriff's address.
To the Griffiths.
Oh, sorry, the Griffiths address.
Yeah. Wow.
Is that true?
I've heard the rumor. Don't know it to be fact. TJ?
We lost TJ. I think he's
pissed
trying
him
to... He's trying to recharge his phone or... I mean, you know the way TJ is with his cell phones.
Well, I figured that, you know, TJ tries to be diplomatic, and now it's time to stop being diplomatic. And since I don't have to respond to anybody's diplomaticies, I say, get wrong, take the test. Stop pussyfooting around.
That's what I was asking. Has anybody asked him to do the same test that Misty?
To my knowledge, Jan, I'm the only one doing that. I'm firing it left and right.
I think they should ask him to take it, too.
Absolutely.
I think so, too.
If that was my daughter, listen, I'd take the test. I'd take the test. That's my daughter.
I would, too. I would volunteer to do it.
Mm-hmm.
If it was me.
If you really want to find your daughter.
That's right. What harm is it going to do? If you ain't got, like you said, if you don't have anything to hide, I would do it just to get everybody, to clear everybody's mind that I was innocent.
That's right.
Actually, I believe the favorite comment is, no one fails a polygraph. There's no reason to fail it.
Well, if you don't have anything to hide, you can't. I mean, you're going to tell the truth. So you'd have to pass it if you don't have anything to hide.
That's right. And I like the three different tests because that gives you a good feeling across the middle of what's going on. And I love that new Israeli test. And Mr. Ward, you know, they shot Mr. Ward down a few times. Let me tell you something. Do your homework on Mr. Ward. That is a very, very serious investigator. Very serious.
As serious as you are?
Let's say with his technology he has with these voiceovers and stuff, he kind of, I would like to have him ride with me sometimes because sometimes I can't tell when somebody's lying and he would be a great benefit to me. But, yeah, he's got the Israeli equipment, buddy. I have to give the respect to where it's due, my friend.
Okay, so here's the open question to the panel and all of our listeners. Who knows about this benefit concert? And if anyone does, drop us a line. We're easy to find. Just go to www.bloggernews.net. There's a big, ugly black box on the right-hand side that says, you know, we're looking for writers. If you click on that, you can send me a message. I would love to find out about it. I've heard rumors that it was happening. I even heard rumors that tickets were already on sale. Other than that, haven't heard much.
Could you parlay the question as well? Could you parlay it? Because if they did, I'd like to know what the money is being used for.
Exactly.
Full disclosure.
Maybe to buy laundry detergent.
You're too much, Simon. TJ, if you're out there listening, my friend, I didn't mean to be all up on you, man. You're a good dude, bro. Get back on this radio show, man. I apologize for firing off, but you know it's very emotional to me if somebody says, I'm just looking for my kid, Misty's okay. I don't think the bed was slept in. Come on, man. There's too many stories. Get them straight for me.
Okay. We have another question coming in, but I can't read my wife's writing.
It was in a hurry.
And she's actually much better at writing than I am.
He just can't see good. Okay. Well, this is coming in from the chat room. They want to know, whose red car was Lindsay in at the school bus stop that day that Haley went missing? Because this information is coming from Jerry Santos.
Well, the only thing I know is Jerry Santos told me that he ran full into Ronald after this. You know, Ronald allegedly, this is all according to interviews that I conducted with Jerry Santos and Art Harris conducted with him, and Art may have something more clear to the factual writings there, but basically, in a nutshell, Mr. Santos said that a distraught Ronald Cummings came beating on his door right after the Geraldo incident, where Geraldo was allegedly attacking him. The only thing I heard of Geraldo do was ask him some questions, to which were very heated to him. And he went to Mr. Santos, Jerry Santos, whose father-in-law is in the DCF, and made complaints. And Mr. Santos told him that that was not proper to be doing that, to come to somebody's house in the middle of the night. That'd be like me going to the sheriff. Hey, sheriff, you know, you just don't do that. And then he had another chance run-in with Mr. Cummings, according to Mr. Santos, at the little store, and he was telling Mr. Santos how he was fixing to sue the living crap out of Mr. Geraldo, millions of dollars. And when he got that money, quote-unquote, Haley would come up from the deep. Now, we went over that three times, come up from the deep. What the hell does that mean? So we've been struggling with that puzzle, and that's one of the questions I would like one of the polygraphers, as Ronald refers to ask that question. What do you mean coming up from the deep after you get Geraldo's money? And good luck getting Mr. Geraldo's money. Good luck.
maybe it's polygamous that he's looking
at. Oh, damn, you're right. It's not polygrapher, it's polygamous. He was reading from the cue card wrong.
I heard you,
Denny.
Denny doesn't talk much.
He's chuckling. Denny, take a poke.
I'm kind of intrigued here, Culver, about your idea to get Ronald to take these tests. I really think that would be a hell of a thing. What are the chances, though, you think?
Well, I'll tell you, if he doesn't take it, he answered my questions in full, and I'm done. I'm completely done. It'll be a matter for pressure later on to bring it out or whatever. But basically, there's too many inconsistencies, what he told me, what he told law enforcement, and what he's told the public arena. There's three different stories, and they do not check out. And trust me on this one, I have sat down where he even drank out of my tea glass, so I know he's a betrayer of some sorts. I'm trying to figure out how much betrayal is he willing to did or done.
Can I, is there some thoughts in some quarters, supposedly not by law enforcement, as far as I know, but that perhaps Ronald's, I was at work the night of the disappearance, that there may be not totally confirmed that there may have been some way around that or is that a totally dead issue?
I don't believe so. I believe that he had the opportunity, the means, motive, and opportunity on a case, which to me translate to people, places, things they do, and the times they do it. He said he was offloading a barge, therefore he's supposed to get off at 12, didn't get off till 3. And if you got a little fast car and you like to drive like a maniac, I could get to the house, get the kid, get to the store after I handed the kid off somebody on the way to the store and be done with it. I could physically pull that off. And the motive behind it is this. The little girl just came off of a three-day binge, which Ronald was not too happy because there's some interrelational contact of sexual nature 3, 4, or 5 times, of which Misty allegedly said she was raped. But my investigation found that she was not raped. She was a willing participant. And then she's quite the exhibitionist, according to other statements that I've taken from other men that have biblically known Misty. So with all that in there, all this stuff going on, and then to hear Ronald's statements and everything else, I think he wanted to keep her home because Ronald loved that girl. In fact, if you read ArtHarris.com, Jerry Santos's was there when Ronald allegedly first saw this young girl, saying 15 to get you 20, according to Mr. Santos, Art Harris. So he's kind of, in my mind, listen, I never dated a young girl at 18. If you're 18 and you date somebody less than 18, to me, 24 and 16, you're a diddler. You're some kind of dadgum diddler. I don't care how good-looking the little girl is. She's still a little girl. So you stay away from her. So, you know, that opens up for a lot of behavior issues that have not been explored with Mr. Ronald, because he was trying to earn a living to feed his family.
Okay, let's head out to the switchboard again. It's always an adventure. Area code 309, what's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
This is Catfish from Illinois, and I just had a thought. Supposedly, Ron and Misty were up all night that Sunday night after she came back talking, and so then they slept during the day Monday. Where was Junior during that time? Did he sleep with them? And if that's the case, how was he in bed asleep at 8 o'clock that night? That's not like any kid I know.
Kids don't do that.
They don't do that. That's right.
Nor do they like the dark.
Has anybody heard where Junior was during the day Monday?
Well, what's been said, there's been several different stories alleged in that whole thing that they were there. We were not thinking that Sunday night she even came home at all. That night she went to her daddy's house. That's why Ronald was late getting the kid to school the next day, spinning out of there going crazy. She came up with this new story now under hypnosis that they had to haul ass to Willaka and get clothes. However, then if they did get clothes, did they only get partial clothes? Because Monday evening, as you recall, they were sitting in the dark. She's scared to death of the dark. But they're in the dark on a cold night eating that she prepared at 5 or 6 o'clock, and they're eating at 7, 7:30. So there's so many different stories there. I'm not sure that anybody has that timeline down either from the night before, because she allegedly didn't show up until 10 o'clock, according to Nene and Amber Brooks and different statements we've taken, and she was supposed to show up with a condom. But she didn't show up with the condom. She supposedly went to her daddy's house and spent the night with her mom smoking out. That's what inside sources are telling.
When did she go back to the trailer then?
Then she went back to the trailer sometime during the day on Monday, so that the rest of that story seems to be made up as well. But she allegedly went back Monday afternoon. A hell of a fight breaks out, and Ronald allegedly goes to work. Now, she picked up the kids, according to Mr. Santos, and not Ronald. So there's two conflicting stories, one trying to cover for behavior of the other, and that's what's caused the concern. Ronald needs to take the test as well.
To me, somewhere in there lays a lot of the clue as to what's going on.
That's right. You're right. You're 100% right, Catfish.
Okay. Well, I have
right,
to say.
Thanks for calling.
Okay. TJ seems to have found a new battery for his phone.
Yeah,
I
apologize.
Welcome back, TJ.
Welcome,
thank you,
TJ.
I'm sorry. That's such a bad term there, Guy, and I apologize, but my cell went dead. I'm back with you now. I'm plugged in, and I'm driving in my car because it fits in the cigarette lighter.
Hey, old friend, you know, this is causing families to fight, and it causes friends to fight, too, but I love you, TJ. You know it's heated with me and Ronald because of the things he said to me and the things that he said to law enforcement, the things he said to the press, and the things he said to me don't work.
Which of the 6 or 7 times am I thinking? Bill, which of the 6 or 7 times am I thinking?
Yeah.
TJ, you are a trooper. I mean, you're the only guy I know that would, you know, go, oh, crap, my cell phone battery's flat. I know. I'll just drive around because I've got a car charger.
You've got a great car charger.
And
Gainesville looks pretty good on 23rd Avenue today. That's pretty good.
Oh, okay. We started the conversation earlier, and I want to continue it. Now, it's about the three little piggies. And, you know, we have Crystal and her 12,000 reasons, but I think we're basically all in agreement. She doesn't have the wherewithal to pull it off. We have Misty. I mean, this girl can barely walk and chew gum at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what's she got to gain? But she's obviously very scared.
Right.
And that leaves one little piggy, Ron. But what's his motivation?
Keep
was it
home.
Intimidation? A drug deal gone south? Maybe a drug bill that's owed? And I keep hearing this $35,000 number bandied around.
There's a lot of smoke, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
TJ, I'm not asking you as a reporter. I'm asking you as, well, take your reporter hat off. You know, what's
Sorry.
Your theory?
My theory is that no one really knows for sure, but you're probably down to your last dirty half dozen. and I'm going to stick with a dirty half dozen. Because you got Misty, the four people, and then you've got the father who may or may not know everything but might know something about what the hell's going wrong here with his little girl. I'm thinking the four people that Misty said it could have been a dream, that it could have been real, I don't know. I think she was trying to open the door to something there, but she just couldn't come clean. When she said that to Tim Miller and his associates, the day she went under all that questioning. So I think we're down to our dirty half dozen. What you got to have to find is the motivation. And so what is the motive? What is the motive for anyone? You stated it earlier that Crystal had 12,000 motives, but not quite the wherewithal to pull off a plan to alleviate that situation. So therefore, you scratch her off the list. She's, she's a grieving parent. And, Ronald, we don't know. We don't know. Misty, she is holding the key to all of the unknown information, and believe me, the pressure is on her. And hopefully tomorrow we'll get a clearer picture. I'm not holding out much hope on that, but it might sharpen the picture up a bit. But I'm thinking we're down to our last dirty half dozen.
Okay.
Right, I agree.
Here's another question that's just come in from the chat room. And I know the answer, but I would be interested to get some feedback. Why hasn't Misty at least been charged with neglect or child endangerment?
Good question.
I think Sunshine Law. I think the Sunshine Laws, they don't want some crack whip attorney, and there's some good ones there in Putnam County, Mr. Field be one of them, and that would push open the Sunshine Law, and we go ahead and find out just what the hell do they have. And so that's not worth the risk of showing your two jacks when you don't have anything to pair them up with.
Yeah. You need some kings and aces.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the child endangerment deal was what got Casey Anthony behind bars, I believe.
Yeah.
Well, you were looking at a short-term gain, but maybe a long-term loss. Just a speculation.
I agree with that. Short-term, yeah. They moved the football, but they're not going to make a field goal or a touchdown. They're going to go ahead and wrap around the field again. They shot one of the bullets. They only got so many bullets, and they're going to make sure that they fire the right one through the heart.
And, by the way, I do believe that New Orleans won today.
Yes, they did.
on way to go. I love the Aints.
Okay, I'm happy about it. Okay.
I love them.
Simon.
Oh, no, I completely
lost. Go ahead, Danny.
Lost
my head, Danny.
Simon, can I ask you a question? I guess, I don't know, maybe TJ's the one I think that mentioned this several shows ago, that the law said that the primary focus was going to be on Haley, which is fine. That's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
But there would be a lot of stuff happening after that issue was resolved. In other words, these other players, and the question just came up about Misty and possibly a neglect or endangerment-type charge. As far as you know, is that still kind of the plan? Do you expect that once this is resolved with Haley, one way or the other, there will be people held accountable for whatever they've done?
Yes, indeed. I'm glad you brought that up. The dearly retired Captain Dick Schaulin, I think, summed it up for all of the folks working very hard and tediously at the Putnam County Sheriff's Office. He said, when this is over, people will be arrested. Oh, yes, there will be arrests. And he said, we're going to go in order, priority, on down the list. So folks who might have been just a little bit chapped, and believe me, I got tons of email off this, why don't they pick up that little tramp for smoking cigarettes? She's only 17. And I'm thinking to myself, why do you want to, fold your cards on an illegal cigarette purchase when it could be so much more, and it could lead to finding the child? So, yeah, the folks will be paying the price all the way down the line in this. Once the child is found, then it's going to be like triage at a MASH unit. They're going to treat the worst first, and all the way down to the flesh wounds at the very last.
And in fact, there might be some really good deals on real estate in the Satsuma area.
Well, right now, there's a couple there at Herbert's Cove.
Simon.
Yes.
Can I ask two one more question? Just pass it around to everybody. I was saying earlier that I'm a rather impatient person, but I'd like everybody's opinion. Let's take, well, this is middle of September. Let's take middle of November, or by Thanksgiving, let's say. What will we be talking about then? What's everybody's idea? Will we still be basically in the same mode, saying, well, you know, the pressure's on and somebody's going to crack any minute? Or will we be discussing Haley's safe return home and how we're all relieved and so forth? Or where do you think we'll be in 2 months? I'd like to hear what everybody has, what everybody's gut feeling is on this.
Okay. My hope is that we're not talking about this at Thanksgiving. My hope is that we have put this entire episode behind us and it has had a happy ending. Reality, though, what we've seen in the last 3 weeks, is it a ramp up to something more? Or is this just a little you know, speed bump, if you will? I don't know. I'll be honest. I still think it's 50-50 that the girl's alive. Every day my attitude changes, but yeah, basically maybe she's alive. Maybe she isn't. TJ.
Yes. In 2 months, where will we be? I'm thinking that we'll probably just be arriving at an answer. I know that this has been very, very long, but I think it's very close to being solved. So in 2 months, I think that we will probably have an answer, but we probably won't know the why.
Okay. Mm.
Cobra.
Well, my feelings is kind of like what y'all are saying, but I would say I would be better to answer that question next week, because we have Misty allegedly coming out tomorrow with some stories. Of course, your show will be up on broadcast through the net in a few hours. I'm sure that TJ will pick up a couple pieces of that, especially the demands, requests for Ronald to take the test, and if he decides not to, or he does, one of the two, I think that next weekend we will be able to answer that question for you with all the fire that's going on now, depending on who dumps the gas next. I think that by next weekend we would all be able to say, yep, it's going to close right now, or nope, we're going to be talking about this, please come home for Christmas business. So I think by next weekend, depending on all the revelations that are going to occur this week, because I'm not requesting for Ronald to take this unless I know something very serious, and I want to know if he refuses, and then I'll have my answer. So then, you know, say he takes it, and I have my answer, yada, yada, yada. Next Saturday I'll be able to tell, or next Sunday I'll be able to tell you, yes, I think we're going to close the case immediately, or no, we're going to be looking at Christmas, or maybe February.
Okay, I'm now going to do something I've been told not to.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to ask Jan what she thinks we're going to be talking about in 2 months.
Santa Claus? Let's just hope that that's what we're talking about, what Santa Claus is going to bring these children once they come home.
Mm-hmm.
Do you honestly believe that in 2 months the case will be solved?
I think we're getting a lot closer. And I still, in my heart, can't give up the fact that she's still alive somewhere, that somebody's got her, holding her. I can't give up that thought. It's just a deep, deep feeling that I have, and I can't let it go.
Okay, let's go back out to the phone lines. Oh, my word, I'm sounding like CNN.
Blockbuster.
We have someone coming in from the 904 area code. What's your name and what's your question for us?
Hello, everybody. My name is Brenda. And not to rewind the conversation, but when TJ mentioned Misty's four people in dreamlike state, mm-hmm. The first thing I flashed to the minute I heard that was some of y'all are old enough to remember 30 years ago, Captain Jeffrey McDonald with the Marines, and he had the four hippies that came in, but he really murdered his family.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first thing I flashed to. When she starts saying four people, dreamlike state, I'm thinking there weren't four people there. That was the first thing I could flash to, is Captain Jeffrey McDonald.
That's spooky, because yeah, other people I've spoken with have said the same thing.
Oh, mm-hmm. Lord, now I'm really scared. Okay, well, thank you so much for taking my comment.
Thanks.
No problem. The four people actually is more than just a passing comment. There hasn't been a great deal talked about it in the press. But
what can you say? I mean, you know, other than, a couple of folks have stumbled upon, one person has gotten some audio, another person just happens to hold it, and there's not a whole lot that can be said about that right now.
Right, I've heard from more than one source that those four people do have names, which we will not name on air.
At this point.
At this point. So, yeah, maybe it was a dream, but that it's just possible that there's some credibility behind it.
Was it just a dream? Just a dream. Just a dream. There's me in the corner.
We have another question coming in from the chat room, and I'm going to get my executive producer to ask it.
Oh, boy, I get all these good things. Now, someone in the chat room asked me to ask, was Timmy and Chelsea living with Tommy and Lindsay before they moved to Massachusetts?
Mm-mm. No.
I can't. No, I don't think so.
No.
Okay. Thank you.
That was an easy one. Okay. TJ, you and I talked on the 10th, the 7-month anniversary, and we talked about dirty laundry.
Yes. Cue Don Henley.
Cute. I don't have it.
Now you're on.
Sorry. I mean, the only one I have is Creedence Clearwater Revival. You know, and you know, we've already done that one. Tell me again your theory about the dirty laundry.
Let's see. The dirty laundry thing here has got me going because in that laundry room where the back door opens into the home. There's usually, and it's been reported by virtually everybody who's been in that house, family members, that there's always laundry on the floor there because it's a very small area. And as we know, when you have little ones, you're always doing laundry. It's just a fact of life. You're always doing laundry. But what appeared to be kind of odd from the statements and reports that over time is that there were dirty clothes found inside the dryer. Well, there was no soap that night. From some of the things that have been released, the timelines and what have you, and things that have been reported. So why would you have dirty clothes in the dryer? Well, one would speculate to make room to get that door open, perhaps, if one were looking at things with maybe a predisposed notion, which mine is right now, is that I'm trying to figure out why would you do it? Were you expecting company? Were you trying to hide laundry? Were you trying to hide stuff off the floor? Or were you just trying to make the door easier to open so you can get something in or out, or yourself in or out of a doorway that's rarely used? And it's been causing me some great pause. I will tell you that a good friend of mine from Louisiana has been stuck on this for about a week to 2 weeks, and she has a mind that goes like an inspector or an investigator. And she and I have been just going over about a bazillion scenarios on this, but it seems that the scenario would be for one to make it easier to open up that that door, and to keep the clothes from being smushed up against the wall when you open that door, you know, in order to make a wider exit or entry point.
Okay, I want to add in another variable, which
please.
Actually adds credence to what you're saying, as opposed to Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The blanket that smells
mm-hmm.
of urine.
Yes.
Right?
This doesn't make any sense. Right?
No.
I can understand, you know, putting dirty laundry in the dryer, you know, if you're expecting people over. In fact, I'd do it if, you know, my wife's been away for the weekend or something, you know. Oh, yeah.
Oh, who are we kidding, Simon?
I...
We do that all the time when our wives are gone for a couple of days.
Right. But...
We pee on blankets and throw them in dirty dryers. That's what we do. You're on to us, ladies.
Right. No, but, I mean, the deal is that supposedly she washed a blanket. And
I can tell you this.
This would mean that that the blanket was washed, the blanket was dried, presumably without the dirty laundry, and the dirty laundry was added later.
Mm-hmm. I got to – well, here, Simon, people that are that lazy and left the house as untidy – she wasn't a very tidy person. What you got a glimpse of on CNN was after Miss Neves' sisters and family members before the press was to go in there. But I'm told that the living conditions in there were pretty horrible. So anyone coming to go in or out that back door would have simply booted the laundry to the side, kicked it to the side, would not have had the desk bend down, pick it up, and put it in the dryer. I'm thinking that, one, the dryer was full of dirty clothes for they would be embarrassed when law enforcement came there and saw all the clothes, so just chunked them in there. Or she wanted to show Ronald what a good little Susie homemaker she was, not being there, and went ahead and threw the clothes. I've been washing clothes. I got a dryer full. I got a fold. I got these. And you secretly go ahead and push them out and push them around. So I don't hang up on the dryer issue too much, because somebody stealing the kid or trying to get a back door open, just booting the clothes out of the way and going on with the program. But the back door being propped open shows me a setup from Jump Street, and I've been asking about skin follicles on the cinder block that allegedly was taken. I don't know, TJ, you would know, not to bring you up on the back door business, but they have that block. So
TJ hates the back door story.
I know he does.
You're rubbing me the wrong way, Cobra, right now.
I was talking about a block. I was talking about a block. You were inside, I was outside.
I'm kidding you. But you know what I'm getting at, dovetails with that, brother, is that, you know, as the door is propped open for easy access, if
mm-hmm.
you're suggesting that we're down to a dirty half dozen and it could be someone more inside than we know, who's to say that some of the clothes weren't put into that, moved into that dryer for the same reason, for ease of access and for ample width to get someone or some ones in and out mm-hmm. of a door.
Just kick them out of the way.
It goes hand in hand with your theory with the block. And, you know, as far as getting DNA evidence off that block, I haven't heard squat.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard squat. You know, it's cement. It's kind of hard for things to stick, like skin and things, especially, you know, I it's not conducive to take sweat and keep it there for a good long time, like a
you're
plastic.
Wrong.
But have
you're
the
wrong.
Oils and stuff like that. I probably
no.
am. I hope to God
yeah, no.
I am.
No, if they didn't have gloves on, I'm going to tell you what they got. They got some major effluvias off of that cinder block, because cinder block will rip your damn skin off. It's not a brick. It's a cinder block.
Oh, and you use those.
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. Those big old white things, yeah.
Yeah, and you use those similar to grind your feet and stuff like that. So they're very good at removing skin follicles. So unless they had gloves on, that cinder block is laden with them. And I just go back to Ronald's story. He never even saw no damn blocks out there. And then they're being told, law enforcement said, 50 feet away from the house, a whole stack of them. Well, there are, and I've seen them myself. And I'm like, whoa, how could you live there for a month when I'm only there a day and I'm seeing something that you don't know about in a whole month? Stop lying.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to run out to the...
There's a lot of that lying going on, Bill. There
is. I'm going to run out to the switchboard before... We get into a big fight.
we are right. Kenny, I just wanted to tell you, Denny, I can't respond to you because this guy still hasn't sent me no email address for you, buddy.
Uh-oh. Simon.
we'll deal with this off the air. Okay. Eric at 419. Well, what's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, this is Pat, and I have a question. Maybe Jan would like to hear this one. If I was trying to hide dirty laundry, it wouldn't be in the dryer. It would be in the washer. Wouldn't that make more sense?
It was full, too.
It was?
Yeah.
And that was dirty, too?
Yeah.
There's no soap in the house. No laundry soap.
So everything they had was dirty.
Yep.
And the grandmother brought clean clothes.
Except whoever brought the clean clothes the night before or that evening were piled up on the table, folded nicely.
Yes.
Well, there had to be a reason for that in the dryer. I just don't get it because I would never put dirty clothes in my dryer. Never. Right. I'd put them on the floor first.
Unless you're tidying up before law enforcement got there.
Right.
Or make an excuse that you're Susie Omega.
You're also not 17.
Right. But I'm saying
you're also a person who's got their wits about them. So I would hope that you would never do that.
Well, that's my first thought. That would be the last place I'd put them because that's where I put my clean clothes. You know.
Well, we're kind of in the looking glass here where nothing appears as it is or as it should be. And all laws of reality seem to be suspended, and all actions seem to be the opposite of what normal folk would do. This has pretty much been the tail of the tape, and I think the reason why so many people are having a rough time solving this logically, and I hope I'm speaking on behalf of the entire panel here, and if I'm not, I'll hear about it, but we ain't looking at a logical bunch.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And also, the biggest part of the equation that America fails to understand is this. Law enforcement has been so tight-lipped. So, therefore, every lead that we get, case closed, or TJ or anybody else, we send it to persons in law enforcement. They do not reach around and tell us how that turned out. So we have absolutely no forensic detail or anything that the police are sitting on all these thousands and thousands of documents and things that they have. Some of the things that we're discussing could be easily answered if we had some participation from them, but for obvious reasons, they're not. So I would say, myself included, but I would rather commend everybody else on the panel and everybody else associated to this case, digging up these factoids and everything else that we've done. We're doing a hell of a job with no help from law enforcement, who knows the condition that night, knows whether that was pee smelling in that dryer, whether the sheet or the blanket found in the van was pee. I knew it was deer blood in there when he couldn't identify the DNA. But, I mean, these are things that unless we physically got there and saw, really we don't have a lot to go on. So what we have is stuff that we've come up with on our own from statements and witness statements and people who have talked about this from being inside the case, like Miss Neves and like Misty and like Ronald and like Miss Sykes and all these various players, to where now we've basically done an investigation complete without any of the remote little details that the police know all about. So I'd say we're doing a hell of a job.
Right.
You know, TJ, we've talked about this not on air but off air.
I've told you, I'd pay you.
Denny, sound like a job for you, buddy.
I mean, for a long time, we were sort of paralleling the efforts of law enforcement, but but now I see it more that we're beginning to converge. We may not share everything we know, because a lot of the information is not provable, and we don't want to go on air with it. Do you think we're converging? Do you think we're on the same track?
I believe so. There are some things like timelines that are coming together in some cases, and in other cases, of course, we'll find out more on Monday. But in dribs and drabs, there is a convergence here with the outside information along with what law enforcement information has. But the thing is that the only one that counts is what law enforcement has. We're reporting on what we can report on. Sometimes we get ourselves in a little bit of hot water. Sometimes there are those who are releasing some information, very factual information, at a speed that makes law enforcement uncomfortable. But you know what? You really can't say too much about that, because if it's out there, it's not something that's necessarily in left field. And if it's something that is factually true, but maybe not 1,000% perfect in its presentation, very little they can say about it. Very little. Because, you're showing your cards if you do.
So
there have been some people who've been cranking out the information, and with a wink and a nod and nonverbal communication, it's like, very good. Okay.
Oh, TJ.
Just say that, because there's no verbal communication. it's like when you're trying to bat at a baseball game. You see that coach down there, slapping himself silly, flashing signs. Every now and then somebody just winks at you and says, and then they smile and walk away.
Okay. I'll tell you what. I'll skip my question to you, TJ.
Sorry.
I'll save you the public beating.
You ask him.
Right. Let's go to the phone lines, because we do have a couple of people on the line. Someone from the mysterious 111 area code, either a block number or using Skype. What's your name and what's your question for us?
Hello?
Hello?
Are you here?
Can anybody hear me?
Yes, we can. What's your question for us?
Hey, Cobra, it's Wayann.
Hi.
Hey, Wayann, how are you?
I'm getting around. I'm still not fully recovered, but, I got my head on. That's a good thing.
That's great.
Chat board, and man, did I get slammed, and then I got a lot of people behind me over the sexual abuse that I had mentioned. And I just
What's your question about the Haley Cummings case?
This is what I'm really concerned about, and what's going on with the people that keep saying, "Where is Haley and Missy?" I mean, my dinger from Twitter goes crazy, and that is right now. The police are not calling her a suspect. They are saying she's the key. Okay, so this is my question. Why are not they calling her a suspect instead of a key if they didn't think there was another suspect with her?
Mm.
Good question. PJ, any thoughts?
Well, I'd like to hear the word conspirator, if that were the case. I'd like to hear the word conspirator, if that was the case.
Oh, so would I. Okay, we're down to the last few who are seconds of the show. To the live listeners, don't panic. If you miss the end of it, The entire show is being recorded, and it will be available for replay in just a couple of hours as soon as I get the link. But I do want to go around the table and get everyone's final thoughts. Denny, the always quiet Denny Griffin.
Yes, I'm going to answer my own question that I asked earlier about the 2 months with the idea that maybe that will change after Misty's deal tomorrow. But I think that by Thanksgiving this is going to be resolved one way or another. And I think probably what TJ said, I think we'll know what happened to Haley. And then I think we're going to be getting into examining the why of it and trying to make sense of the whole thing. So that's my thoughts, that by Thanksgiving, Haley's whereabouts and what happened to her will be known, and we'll be talking about how it happened and why it happened.
Jen, I want you to weigh in.
Well, I just want to tell everybody to reach out down in your hearts. Don't give up on this little girl being found. Some one way or the other, they're going to find her. They have to find her and bring her home. I still have my hopes that she's alive, but others don't. But either way, she needs to come home and put an end to this and just get it over with for her own sake.
Cobra.
Brother man, my greatest desire this week that Ronald will take the test and solve that. He wants his child back. I do too. And I think that if he'll take the test, that will greatly tighten the noose around somebody's neck. And I'm also hoping that Misty wasn't flashing in the pan, so to speak. And when she comes out tomorrow night, let her rip buckwheat.
I understand that it might be on American Idol.
At least,
or
hey.
America's Most Wanted.
Thank you. There you go. America's Most Wanted. Yeah. They can't even do a damn show because there's too much suspicion coming around. All we need is some folks to tell the truth. You know, you want your daughter back? Take the test. Period and simple. If you don't, we have our answer.
Well, I think they should make him take it.
Absolutely.
Because they can't make him, but I think they should ask him to.
If I was the father, I would take the test, buddy. I'm telling you what, this is my daughter, and I'm taking it.
Exactly.
I'm taking it, and you best believe it.
I think Misty took it. If it had been me.
That's right.
I would have thought the same thing. Well, if she.
I surely wouldn't let my mother-in-law push my wife into taking a damn test and making her look like a horse's ass because she's still not 100% with her statements. I wouldn't allow my mother-in-law to do that to my wife. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Well, I think he should have been right along with her.
Absolutely.
In fact, Jen keeps threatening to put me on the Maury show. She has an 18-year-old son, and we've been married, 5 years, 4 years? And yeah, she wants me to take a paternity suit.
You got to be shitting me.
And you know,
this is not about you, Simon. This is about something else.
Right. You know, she just wants to abuse me on national TV. You know? Joey is not your son.
Oh my God.
Let's go back to reality for a moment. TJ, your parting thoughts.
Parting thoughts? A lot's going to hinge on the progress of this case tomorrow, I do believe. It's either going to go fast forward or it's going to go in slow motion. So we're going to have to see what the birdie says when Misty decides to sing.
Good. And whoever has their button on the slow motion, there's your suspects.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the you called it the something six.
The dirty half dozen.
the dirty half.
Would that be baker's dozen, 6.5 or 7? Bling.
One of them was heavy. That's all I got.
Okay, folks, I need to wrap this up. It has been a great afternoon. I really want to thank all of the panelists, all of the callers, and all of the listeners. We will get to the bottom of this story. We didn't do it today. We might not do it next week. But you can guarantee we will be there when we do get to the bottom of it.
That's right, buddy.
This is Simon Barrett for Blogger News Network, wishing everyone a great Sunday. And please do join us next week. And I'm sure next week's show will be just as exciting.
Just for up ahead.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.